must change. The rhetoric they speak is all the same. The men behind the curtain and the illusion they create. Pull the puppet string and steal our fate. What's your deal?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots, and even you jackbooted thug jackasses alike. It's time again for the quickest moving, largest growing show in blog talk. It's the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, with your host, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. Once again, if you want to call in, we'll throw the numbers out first. Last week, we didn't get to take any calls because we had our special guest on. Last week, we had on our good friend Chris from NoMoreCages.com. And he came on the show, gave us his perspective on things like Adam Kokesh and the arrest of gun manufacturers and major political party dirty tricks. Stuff you're not going to hear in the mainstream media, left wing or right wing. Getting started, this is Thursday, May the 30th already, 2013. It is actually Memorial Day, but Monday was nationally observed as Memorial Day, so the bankers and the lawyers and the government thugs could have their little three-day weekend. But today is actual Memorial Day. And this week in 1818, General Pierre G.T. Beauregard, General of the Confederate States of America, was born. This week, 1862, was the Battle of Fair Oaks, Virginia, in what we know as the War of Northern Aggression on the South, or as the government indoctrination camps call it, the Civil War, even though it wasn't a Civil War at all. And finally, on the calendar today, our good friend Ed Martin, who comes on here and hosts, co-hosts on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, our good friend Ed Martin, former Libertarian candidate for Congress, is 50 years old today. So we say happy birthday to our good friend Ed Martin, who will be celebrating his birthday today. If you guys don't remember, Ed Martin was the one who was the Libertarian for Congress in Louisville. And then, of course, the Jefferson County Republican Party tried to sue to get him off the ballot. And they had their own little problems at the time. Go back to that story. If you don't remember this story, two people filed to get Ed Martin off the ballot because they couldn't handle somebody running who wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, the lawsuit was dropped because one of their plaintiffs was busted on indecent exposure at the library. So there you go. The Republican dirty tricks active as always. And we got another one of our good friends on the phone lines this evening. I don't know what time of day it is here in the underground bunker. But we are going to talk about a couple of big issues such as Monsanto and Agenda 21. And what better time than to go to our good friend way beneath the underground bunker in the People's Republic of Vietnam. Are you with us, Comrade Frank?
Da. Pasiba.
Speak American, Frank.
I'm sorry,
Frank,
I'm
laughing
into my native Russian again. Forgive me, Dale. I've been in communist-occupied Vietnam for so long, I'm starting to speak Russian.
I understand. I'm up here in Jefferson County. The only thing conservative about it is the name that it's named after Jefferson. So I wanted to get you on here early and often here, Frank, because Agenda 21 is something that we've been talking about for decades in the Patriot movement. And for those not in the know, Agenda 21 goes back to 1992 when President George Herbert Walker, New World Order Bush, signed a UN treaty on a sustainable development. And that was known as Agenda 21. For some reason, old Poppy Bush is a central figure in a lot of globalist government ventures. But anyway, the treaty came out of discussions at the first Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, and Agenda 21 is a non-binding, quote-unquote, framework for sustainability and economic development. And what that means in layman's terms, it has broad radical proposals on things like biodiversity, protecting the atmosphere, and combating deforestation. So I know that this connects to Lexington and Kentucky, because our good friend Frank, I want you to tell us all the latest in Lexington with Agenda 21, if you will.
Man, you know, it's such a big issue and such a broad issue, it's hard to know where to begin. We kind of came in late to the fight, and by we, I mean some of the activists, some of the people in the Libertarian Party, and you know, people that are affiliated with Take Back Kentucky that have been hearing about this for years.
Yep.
And years, and have heard the good fight that Norm Davis put up, and
yep,
Henry Lamb and others, where they've actually defeated it. I think in more recent times, I think Thomas Massie, when he was judge executive of Lewis County, defeated it up there. And so we're way behind this in Lexington as far as we've let this one get past us. It's almost too late now. So they've already implemented what they call the Empower Lexington Plan. And we've been going to the committee meetings for the last 6 months and trying to play catch up on this, because we just let this one get past us. We've been so busy with so many issues, and there's so few people that have the time or the desire to get into,
yep,
the fight on the liberty front. We need people that are just paying attention. We need people that are going to get out there and do things. And you know, as our good friend John Riley likes to say, 90% of politics is just showing up.
It's just showing up.
People willing to get out there and just show up at meetings and just show up and ask questions and just show up and run for office.
Well, they
like
try to
that.
Mock
so,
the Agenda 20, they try to mock the Agenda 21 thing on the state level, Frank. If you remember back a few months ago, we had Senate Bill 80, and that was the bill that actually passed 32-4, and the mainstream media jokingly called it the Black Helicopter Bill of Kentucky. And that was the bill that was... I don't know if you remember that bill. It passed 32-4 in the state Senate.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I was aware of it. I never did hear what happened to it on the House side.
Yeah, well, it moved to the House, but I don't think it really got to a floor vote. If it did, it got voted down, because I don't think I heard. I know I didn't hear a affirmative vote. It never
I don't think I heard anything about a floor vote, but that doesn't mean that they didn't have one.
No, if they had one, it was like a quick voice vote. They shot it down. It definitely did not get to P. Paul Bashir to sign, but the bill basically prohibited any state agency or political subdivision of the state, like MSD here in Louisville is the sewer district, from implementing any part of the UN Agenda 21 that's contrary to the U.S. or Kentucky Constitution. And one has to wonder whether it would block Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher or your mayor there in Lexington from moving ahead with their sustainability plans.
Right. Well, the thing is they won't admit that it's Agenda 21. It's funny because in the meetings we were in earlier this year, one in January, they flat out said this. This is not a quote, but this is the paraphrasing of what they said. They said,
yep.
Well, yes, we've read Agenda 21, and well, yes, we agree with all their ideas, but we're actually implementing everything that Agenda 21 said, but we're not part of Agenda 21.
Well, the Kentucky Tea Party groups have been active about it, and they've been vocal. Like you said, our good friends in Take Back Kentucky really talked about this years and decades ago. And, you know,
Northern Kentucky's been real good on this. They're good.
Yeah. And people don't think it matters to them. It already does, just from what little we know about it. The policies will ruin America as we know it. It robs you of your natural rights, including right to bear arms, living where you want to live. Yep.
Yep.
Destroying private property rights in spite of the Constitution, finishing off what little due process we have left, and then through rewilding, as they call it, they want to herd us into, I guess, Lexington and Louisville and get rid of anybody that's living anywhere else, I guess.
Right. They want to stack and pack us. They want to herd us all up. And
like in Asia, they got high rights. Yeah. Well, tell me about
I don't know how they're going to pull this off, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell me about the, I don't know if it was a bill or a piece of documentation that you filed in Lexington on this.
Okay. We're in the very early stages of going through procedure to fight this. And so the steps, what we're trying to do is use open meetings and open records laws, which the state of Kentucky has some pretty good open meetings and open records laws, which basically state that the government, if, you know, any entity that's acting on the behalf of government or acting as a government agency is subject to the scrutiny of the public, that the public's entitled to know how they're making policy and to be there at the meetings, to listen to the discussions. They're not the public isn't entitled to participate per se, but the way that this Agenda 21 thing is being presented, they're trying to present this as if it's got the full backing of the majority of the everyday person, which just flat out isn't true. The average everyday person is just blissfully ignorant that it even exists.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, they call it non-binding action, and groups like in Louisville, the Sierra Club, will push it, and we obviously are trying to push back about it, and I don't think too many people even know what's going on because we know mainstream press. I don't think that you don't have to worry about their recovery. And when I say mainstream press, I mean including Fox News. I don't think I hear Fox News talking about Agenda 21.
No, well, Glenn Beck's starting to bring it out, bless his heart. I mean, I've got to give the man credit. I'm not a Glenn Beck devotee or whatever. I think generally he's kind of late to the party, and then generally he gets a lot of issues wrong. He's been really wrong on some liberty issues. He shot down Ron Paul in 2008. He shot down Deborah Medina in 20. You know, the governor in the governor's race in Texas. He shot her down in 2010.
Yep, 2010. That was the Medina Deborah Medina.
I'm not always sure who Glenn's working for, but he seems to be at least drawing attention to this. And that's the biggest part of fighting it, is getting people to just pay attention. And so here in Lexington, we've got this group. They've already implemented what they call the Empower Lexington Plan, which, you know, sounds on the surface, it doesn't sound bad. It's all about, recycling and ecology and saving energy and all that. But as you know and I know, the devil is in the detail. It's not it's not so much, we're not against recycling, heaven forbid. I've been a recycler since I was a boy. I'm 51 years old, and I've been recycling since I was 13, 14 years old. I've been composting probably since I was 15 or 16. And so I'm not against these things, but I don't want the government telling me that if I don't do it, that they're going to come find me, that if I don't do it, they're going to take my property away. And, you know, it's all in how they do it. Once upon a time, Lexington had a voluntary drug rehab thing. You know, I think it was Blackburn And so how did that work out? Now what do we have? We've got, you know, the full war on drugs. That's how the government operates. They get their nose under the tent, the proverbial camel's nose under the tent, and then once they get in the tent, buddy, it's, you know, Katie bar the door.
Well, another of the terms that they use lately, Frank, I don't know if you've followed up on the latest catchphrase. The latest catchphrase is Common Core. Have you heard about this?
I've been hearing about Common Core. I'm not up to speed on it. But, you know, you
Common Core standards
and what you
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Common Core standards and Agenda 21 go hand in hand. And the thing about it is, thankfully, here in Louisville next week, I think they're actually going to do it next week, same time as I'm on this show, the Tea Party in Louisville. They keep having these socials during my show, damn it. But they're going to have a special education edition of their Tea Party social talking about Common Core and standards and charter schools and trying to improve education in Kentucky. And I'm going back to a piece that the Kentuckians Against Common Core Standards put out. This goes back to this past Monday. And they were talking about, and I don't remember too many people talking about this. We know that our conservative, quote-unquote, groups aren't talking about it. But did you know that the Interim Joint Committee on Education is going to have a meeting on Monday, June 10th about Common Core?
No, I didn't know that.
Most people don't. And again, the staff from the Kentucky Department of Education have been requested to provide information on this and requirements relating to assessment and accountability. And the General Assembly have been working for years to increase the rigor and relevance of education in Kentucky. You know, they always talk about how we got to have education, which usually means throwing more money at the problem. But the aspects of Common Core standards, the Common Core standards that they have adopted in the Kentucky Department of Education have tied right into Agenda 21. So they got to get into the education system, and that's where it comes in now. Agenda 21 comes right in there with the Common Core because it's poor content, it's no privacy, and it's high cost.
Well, getting back to what you were asking earlier about, you know, what's going on with the are we fighting this in Lexington, what we're trying to do is use open records and open meetings to show that these people are mostly – you know, people that work for government, they're being paid salary to attend these meetings, you know, out of public sector funds. The taxpayer money is paying for these people to go to these meetings. They're making recommendations which are going to grow government. In several cases, there's people on committees who are making recommendations that are going to benefit their own departments in government or in government-funded entities. Some of these groups that, you know, are sucking at the government teat, and they're directly benefiting from public funding, and they're on these committees making recommendations. Which, guess what? They're, you know, recommending that you send more money to my group. And
well, usually those are the people who show up for the meetings. The people who show up for the meetings, Frank, are the ones who have the most of the gain because they're looking for their program to get benefited.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they hold these meetings during the week. They hold these meetings at 2 p.m., and most people in the private sector are at work, you know, until 4:30, 5 o'clock. And so most people in the private sector can't attend these meetings. In the public sector, people are being paid to go to these meetings. So, you know, it's really, really a one-sided battle. But the good thing is, and this really is good, this is one of the cases where, you know, if we have a somewhat honest government, that the government's actually sort of policing this a little bit, you can file a complaint, which is what I've done. I filed a complaint a week ago Thursday at the meeting, and it's a very simple process. This is one of those things that everyday, you know, citizens like myself who are not lawyers, I'm not a legal genius of any kind. I rely on other people to tell me what to do and to hold my hand and guide me. But you can file a complaint very easily. You just notify whoever's running the committee or the group or the entity that you think needs to be under the scrutiny of the public. And you say, hey, I think that this is a public meeting, and here's why. And you know, it's very simple. You don't have to hire a lawyer to do this. And so you give them an official complaint. You know, it's something in writing. You have to either give it to them in person or mail it, and then you have to give them 3 business days to respond. So it's been 3 business days, even if you include the Memorial Day holiday. He's had 4 full business days, and so now I'm legally within my rights to notify the Attorney General that I have not had a response, and even if I get a response, the response has to be to my satisfaction that I, you know, that they're going to amend their ways and include the public, et cetera, et cetera. And we know they're not going to do that, and plus they haven't responded at all. So I am now within my rights to go to the Attorney General and file, I'm not sure what it's formally called, but I file a complaint with the Attorney General and turn it over to them. And then here's the good part. This is the part I love. I don't have to prove that they should be a public entity. They have to prove that they're, you know, that they shouldn't be a public entity. The burden of proof is upon them.
And the audience agrees with that. I mean, the thing about this, Frank, is that the Agenda 21 thing, I mean, most people, they just hear that name and they think, oh, it's all conspiracy theory crap, and we've got to get the word out. I'm glad the Tea Party groups are talking about it. I was surprised pleasantly to see some of our Republicans in the legislature take it on. But for those who distrust outside control, particularly through the consensus of globalist government, I mean, this thing is authored through the United Nations and it speaks to the base of fears in the country, and that's being shackled by what, you know, you can call it communism, we call it fascism sometimes, and we got to pick up that baton. Wage a war against Agenda 21. We got to be dedicated to restoring and preserving freedom under the U.S. Constitution, because the U.N.'s plan is to basically establish control over all human activity. And we know that the U.N. is at the hub of a global network that wants to submerge the independence of all nations worldwide, controlled by the elites. And we got a lot of the elites in our own U.S. House and Senate, and they call us all kinds of extremists and, you know, conspiracy theorists if we stand up against this stuff. But if you just sit back and let them do it, they're going to do it. If, you know, that's all it takes. So what is the old line about all it takes for evil to benefit for a good man to do nothing?
Well, and the thing is to a large degree, they're doing it in plain sight. If you go to the Lexington Fayette-Urban County Government's official website, you can find the Empower Lexington plan, and you can even find where Lexington is. I forget if it's called an Agenda 21 city or an ICLEI city, but they actually refer to the UN documents. They're Lexington and Berea and Frankfort are the three cities and towns in Kentucky that are officially aligned with Agenda 21.
Is it the World Heritage City?
They admit it. You know.
Is it the World Heritage Cities? Is that what we're talking about, Frank? UNESCO?
I don't know if that's the right terminology or not. I'm not the most well-versed person in this. I can give you the names of people like Bill Polniak, who's extremely well-versed in this. And Bill would talk to you, you know, for hours on this subject. And he can tell you, that, you know, where the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and all that.
Well, the local programs, like you said, they're openly conducting their business in your local community, and they want to eliminate private property through its eminent domain. I mean, like you said, we heard our good friend, the late, great Norm Davis, talk about this 20 years ago, and they warn, we try to warn, that the communities that signal the end of personal freedoms like this, you're going to have limits on your ability to travel, own gas-fueled automobiles, or even raise your family if you want to. Yeah. That's a bold claim, but it's the truth, because for U.S. property owners, they've already seen resources diminished by all these environmental changes, rising taxes, escalated cost of living, and the hard data means little. The issue they'll be asking is whether these sustainability programs based on Agenda 21 is going to yield a better life, a better way of life for their communities. And we think we should tell them, no, it's going to be far worse for you. Like you said, I don't know how they're going to implement it, but we see how they're doing it out in public. And I'll use that to get into our we'll jump into our next topic here in a moment or two. And the thing is, you look at these things that they get onto us, call us birchers, get on the John Birch Society, groups like that, who actually want to go after Agenda 21 and have been doing it for decades. And they'll say, oh, what are you worried about? We're just trying to save the earth, and like Frank said, recycle, and we're just trying to get bike paths and help farmers. Well, we know they don't want to help farmers, because that's the Monsanto topic that we're going to get into here in a little bit. We know they don't want to help farmers because they're in bed with Monsanto, which is the opposite of local farming. You don't have a clue where the stuff's coming from. And, you know, if Glenn Beck wants to jump on board and he gets a few things right, we know he has lots of people listening to folks like Alex Jones and trying to steal most of their thunder and then hawk a bunch of books about it. But what would Thomas Jefferson say about Agenda 21, Frank?
Well, he would be appalled. He would be, I'm sure he's spinning right now in his grave, not just rolling over, but spinning. Probably
high
RPM.
Spinning on a dais. Spinning on a dais because it's just ridiculous. I mean, we get distracted because they put out these topics that they want to distract you with, and they're topics like, oh, gay marriage, and oh, look, the Boy Scouts are going to let homosexuals in, and they distract you with these topics that aren't really important because they don't affect your everyday life. If somebody's not in the Boy Scouts, and especially if they're not gay, why would gays in the Boy Scouts matter to me? It's not an issue, but agenda 21, most of the idiots on the street don't even know what it is. So, you know, go ahead.
A couple little things that they're not so little, maybe things that they're doing and have done recently in Lexington is these historic overlays, you know, where they come in and with a very small number of people create this district where you're not allowed to do anything to the exterior of your house without the approval of a committee of the Historic Preservation Society. And some of these homes are you know, barely over 50 years old. I don't know about in Louisville, but you know, here in Lexington, a 50-year-old home is a very ordinary home. It's just a very ordinary suburban structure. And so, they're trying to make it so you don't have, you know, the right to do anything at all to your own property. And then just recently, there's a group there's a guy, you know, out on the edge of Fayette County who's trying to create a business. He's trying to create a zip line, you know, where people can come and ride this big long zip line and maybe, you know, jump into the water or whatever. And so the city of Lexington's gotten involved in that, and they're trying to keep him from doing that. And now they created this panel that has made this recommendation, and I can guarantee you it's going to pass because that's the way our city council operates. they created a list of things that they approve of and a list of things that they don't approve of. You know, if you've got a horse farm and you want to let people ride your horses, that's okay. But you're not allowed to have, you know, like a hiking thing, or heaven forbid, if you, you know, like had a deer hunting farm where, you know, you allowed people to come onto your property and hunt deer. That's never going to happen. And they also want to ban these things that are recreational, hiking, zip lines, and things like that, where people might actually make a dollar on their own property with a zip line. Heaven forbid.
Yeah, we can't have private. Yeah, we can't have private property enterprise. What's wrong with you? You must be one of those Al Qaeda terrorists. But we're going
to
talk about.
You're allowed to have private enterprise, but it has to be approved by a city council that's got a cop so far up their collective rear end that it's not funny.
I know you're exactly right, Frank. I've been saying this for a long time. Are you really free to protest? Do they want you to get a marching permit or a protest permit? Are you really free to travel when you have to go get? I mean, look at the crap they require, and we put up with to travel. You got to have your driver's license. You got to have your registration. You got to have your collective fees paid in. You got to have your title and your deed and a little sticker on the back of your car. So are you really free to travel? I get really angry when I hear these idiots say, well, driving is a privilege. No, it's not. Driving is a right. The government doesn't need to be giving out privileges. And if you think you're free to conduct business, try to have an open agorist market without paying into the local Better Business Bureau or getting the local government around here. It's the third and fourth class cities will make you get a permit or pay a 1% tax just to operate in their suburbs.
Well, if you have to ask permission, then you're really not free. And as they sometimes say in the southern states, if you're not free to leave, then you're not free either.
No, that's a very valid point, Frank. We're going to, like I said, get into Monsanto after the break. Can you stick with us?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's put Frank here in the queue. And like I said, folks, if you want to call in, the number is always across the country, 858-683-1326. And we will come back and we'll talk about Monsanto. And you might be surprised at some of the politicians who are in bed with Monsanto. That after this.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold.
You want answers? You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back again here on the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. You're listening to your host, Dale the Truth. We will grab our good friend Frank from deep beneath the bunker in the People's Republic of Vietnam, and we'll bring him back on the airwaves. Frank, are you still with us there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Didn't want the black helicopters to get you there. We came back in from the break with Ain't No Grave by Johnny Cash, and we always play the best bumper music in Blog Talk Radio. And I want to get into a topic. Frank, how up to date, and I don't want to put you on the spot, are you on the whole Monsanto thing about Monsanto controlling our food supply?
Well, I'm very well aware of it. I don't know every single issue that's come up. I know that the Europeans are trying to burn GMO food as fast as they can, GMO crops, because they don't want it in their countries. They're refusing to import wheat from the United States from GMO wheat crops. So the rest of the world is smarter than we are, which is not unusual.
We had a big march in Louisville, and I know they had them around the world. I don't know if they had one in Lexington. We had a big march in Louisville against Monsanto. Did you all have one in Lexington Saturday?
I think we had about 500 people. I wasn't able to go, but I think they had about a 500-person march. Got a little bit of coverage, not a lot, but some.
Yeah, we had several hundred here, and the mainstream media said a couple dozen is what they said. It's about 600 or 700, they called it a couple dozen.
Yeah.
Well, Monsanto, for those who don't know, and we have one of the most informed audiences out there, Monsanto controls your food, they poison your land, and they influence all three branches of government. And you got to know the truth about this stuff. Monsanto went from selling aspirin to now controlling the food supply. They have 40% of the crops grown in the U.S. have Monsanto genes in them now. And they also produce top-selling herbicide. Go ahead.
They've also, in recent years, gone and bought up a lot of the heirloom seed companies. These companies that were trying to keep these native species alive, species that have existed for thousands of years. Most people probably don't know, but there used to be hundreds of varieties of corn, hundreds of varieties of tomatoes, green beans, peas. You name it.
Not anymore.
You know, some of the most beautiful fruits and vegetables you've ever seen, colors of the rainbow you've never imagined in food. And so Monsanto would deliberately go in and buy these seed companies and either shut them down or take them over. And in some cases, they're trying to patent the seed so that nobody is even allowed to buy the seed and grow it. Even if, you know, even if you're not you know, a genetic engineer, you can't even just buy the seed and put it in the ground and grow a tomato.
Now, in the way they started, Monsanto was founded as a chemical company 102 years ago, and they were named after the maiden name of the founder's wife, Monsanto. And his first product, you're going to love this if people don't know this, the first product Monsanto ever put out was the artificial sweetener called saccharin.
I was going to say AstroTurf. I know they used to make AstroTurf.
This is the early brother of aspartame. Yeah, this is the ugly big brother, saccharin.
Okay.
And prior to entry into agricultural market, Monsanto produced, you guessed it, aspirin. They also made plastics, synthetic rubber, caffeine, and artificial vanilla flavoring. So a whopping 99% of all the polychlorinated biphenyls out there in the U.S. were produced at a single Monsanto plant in Saugus, Illinois. And this plant churned out these toxic PCBs from the 1930s until they were finally banned in 1976, used as coolants and lubricants and electronics. These are the carcinogenics that are harmful to your liver, your endocrine system, your immune system, your reproductive system, and, oh, yeah, your skin, eyes, and brain. This is the stuff that Monsanto's putting out. And to
well,
get
they,
to the main
they
issue. Go ahead.
They also have a proven track record of having very, very few ethics when it comes to how they treat people with the famous court cases where they're genetically modified wheat cross-pollinated with the local farms, and they had the gall to sue the farmer for theft, and they won in a case of, you know, in a court. The farmer didn't want that theft in his fields. It blew there naturally with the wind and bee pollination and all that, and he certainly didn't steal anything. He didn't want it. And they,
well,
and
I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, go ahead.
Monsanto established then and there, you know, who really runs things and how corrupt our court systems are, how corrupt our government is.
Well, that's why I'm glad you said that, because the Monsanto people, they may not like people, but they love government officials. And I can go through a bullet point list. I don't have this in any organized manner here. But there was a gentleman, you want to talk about government, you want to talk about having control over the three branches of government. There was a guy I think that you probably know of and have heard of, pretty well-known guy, Frank, and this guy started out as an associate justice, and then he left to become an attorney for the Monsanto Group, and he eventually became known as Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Right, yeah, I knew that. And then don't they have, they've got somebody in the EPA right now or some high-level government official is a former Monsanto executive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Clarence Thomas aside, Monsanto has had plenty of other ties to Washington. You have 8 lawmakers, at least currently, who own large amounts of stock in Monsanto. And again, today, we look at their patent of their herbicide-resistant seeds. Frank just talked about how they buy out all the beautiful seeds out there. And what I really want to get into tonight is the politicians paid off by Monsanto. I don't know how many people have seen this list out there, but I am looking at the list right now of all the different politicians, and I'm talking about U.S. House and U.S. Senate. We already see that one of the quote-unquote conservative guys wearing the black muumuu on the Supreme Court used to work for them. But Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you can help Monsanto slide its icy tentacles into the food chain, there's going to be some financial help for you there. And, Frank, I want to let you know, this story that I'm reading here, this comes straight from today's news. This is just pulling out public record. House of Representatives alone, Monsanto paid $72,000 to buy off 15 Democrats and $191,000 to buy off 46 House Republicans. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that these whores go pretty cheap. That's a bargain for what you get.
I thought so, too, and I'm glad you call them what they are, whores, because I wanted to mention some of the important ones. Let's just start in the U.S. House, if some of these names sound familiar. Who got the most money do you think, in the U.S. House of all other people? That's right. It's the crybaby from Ohio. John Boehner got $10,000 from Monsanto. They bought him off at $10,000 in the U.S. House. Keeping it local, you'll like this one here, Frank. Second District Congressman Brett Guthrie got $1,000 from Monsanto.
I'm not surprised.
And this one won't surprise you either. $7,500 to Mr. Hal Rogers of Kentucky.
Well, you know, somebody's got to pay for those highway signs.
So this is all the money that they're buying off. And it gets better when we go to the U.S. Senate, Frank, because in the U.S. Senate, they paid $37,500 to 9 Democrats, and they bought off 16 Republicans in the U.S. Senate at a cost of $85,000. And I want you to guess, Frank, what U.S. senator do you think gained the most financially from Monsanto?
I'm guessing it's somebody that shouldn't have a T in their name. That's my guess.
The person who gained the most money from Monsanto in the United States Senate was Louisville's own Addison Mitchell McConnell.
There you go. Shouldn't have a T there.
Can you believe this is the guy that they parade around as a conservative, took in $10,000 from Monsanto?
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
And people want to defend him. Republicans want to defend him for being a great conservative. They have no idea what a slime ball he is.
No, that's why I wanted you to talk about him with us, because I had some fun on the social networks this week. Our good friend John Kemper was talking about this, and, you know, John Kemper's not afraid of a good fight. I mean, hell, he's an old football player like me, and John Kemper started a virtual shitstorm, if you will. He said he had a great cookout of burgers and steak until Mitch McConnell showed up with the pork.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he said, I guess old habits die after 30 years in office. And I was having a good fight with some of the neocons on there, Frank. And I even invited a couple of them on the show, but they didn't have the balls to come on to the show, of course. And you'll love this. I was arguing with this one guy, and I'll call him out by name because I don't know if you know him. Well, this kid, and I'll call him a kid because he's 20-something years old. This kid, let me pull up his name here so I can call him out and set in front of our thousands of our audience here. This kid started telling me, oh, he'd come on my show if we could talk about his neocon topics that he wanted. And I tried to explain to him, when you go on someone else's show, you don't pick the topics, dumbass. You go on and you talk about this kid's name. I'll make him famous in front of thousands. Apparently, he's a up-and-coming neocon mover in the Republican Party of Kentucky. I even heard that he was dating the daughter of the guy who wants to go to state government. Lynn, what is this kid's name? Lion Cruz or something?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this kid is dating the daughter of the guy who wants to be a state rep, Lynn Cruz. This kid's name, let me find it so I can make him famous in front of our audience of thousands. I shouldn't do it, but, you know, he just pissed me off. His name, I know everybody's eagerly awaiting it. Maybe you've heard this guy if you've been around the neocon circles with Addison and Mitch McConnell. This kid's name is Paul Nathaniel Novielli. Have you heard of this kid?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, I haven't either. I mean, he's a nobody. But basically, he was arguing with me, telling me how great Mitch McConnell is, and how people like me and John Kemper, we just don't understand. We're just flamethrowers, and we're not good, loyal Republicans. Have we heard this before somewhere, Frank?
This seems like every election for the last 6 or 8 years, yeah.
Well, I mean, John Kemper made a good point. He said he doesn't follow personalities but principles, and Big John is not afraid to stand up to these idiots. And again, he said, I cannot support a conservative, quote-unquote, Republican who gave us double-digit debt ceiling increases, TARP, NDAA, indefinite detention of American citizens, the Patriot Act, NAFTA, CISPA, 1986 amnesty. I mean, that sounds more like a Democrat. And when and John said that, of course, they do the same thing. The neocons do the same thing. That it looks like they wouldn't like this. They do the same thing that, like, the NPR group does to conservatives. They'll say, well, you sound angry. You're too loud and too upset and too bitter. But John and I think that these conservative principles speak for themselves. I mean, how many times has people like Mr. Kemper gone around the state educating folks about this political spin that the party uses, Frank?
Well, John's a great guy, and you're not going to run into very many people that are smarter than John, more personable than John, and just more knowledgeable about the issues. And the thing is you can say what you want about somebody's beliefs, but when you bring up facts and you're talking about facts and you're not even disputing the facts, you just don't want the facts brought up because they make you look like an idiot, well, then there's something maybe wrong with your position. If you don't want to hear the facts, then maybe your position is the wrong position.
I agree, and we had this big debate on the social networks. Again, a lot of background noise, Frank. Is that you? Maybe it's the black helicopter. I don't know.
There's nothing going on here.
they tap into the show a lot. They like to tap the phone lines and everything else, so we'll just play along with them. Hi, guys. How you doing? How are your jackboots? But anyway, so we had this debate, and you'll love this one, Frank. Then a lady chimed in. We won't name her, but you know her as being a head of a local Republican party in your parts.
Yeah.
And she chimed in. We won't name her name, but her initials are Shirley Wiseman. And
well, she's blocked me, so I can't even see her comments. That's okay, though. I don't really need to.
Well, that's all right. She came in and said, how dare we speak ill of Mr. Haddison Mitch McConnell? He's our best tool. That's a key word, tool. He's our best tool in D.C.
He's our best tool, no doubt about it.
She said it. He's our best tool in D.C., she said, let's remember what Ronald Reagan said. I know it gets good. She said, let's remember what Ronald Reagan said. Speak no evil of fellow Republicans. God bless.
Well, yeah, these are the same people that you haven't heard the word Richie in about a year either, have you?
Does anybody in the Republican
party talk about little Richie anymore?
Frank, I keep trying to remind these people, they're Mount Rushmore in the Kentucky Republican Party. And they only got one piece left standing of their Mount Rushmore. They're Mount Rushmore in the Republican Party. You tell me if I'm wrong about these four names. Their Mount Rushmore for years and years was Mitch McConnell, Charles Merwin Grayson, David Williams, and Richie Farmer.
Yeah. I'm not so sure Richie would be in the top four.
Oh, they love Richie.
Six,
he played basketball for UK. He's a god.
there's some people up there now.
What's that?
I'd say U of L is going to be having some more success in politics with their recent run in sports, but that's another topic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I don't, the people across the state, I mean, hell, I thought they wouldn't elect Jerry Abramson as lieutenant governor. This guy from Louisville, a Louisville man, a quote unquote legend who screwed our city over. Richie was so bad as lieutenant governor that the former Louisville mayor, a very left leaning Jewish mayor with, homosexual tendencies, became lieutenant governor. That's how bad Richie did as a Republican candidate. So sticking to the topic here, this lady came in telling us how dare we speak of a fellow Republican evil, and I had to remind them that about Reagan's 11th commandment, it was actually created in 1966 by Gaylord Parkinson. He was the California Republican Party chairman at the time, and he created that whole 11th commandment thing after the bloodbath between Barry Goldwater and Nelson Rockefeller. And the commandment never meant that you couldn't criticize another Republican's policies or philosophies. What it meant was just talking about being respectful of the different candidates and different points of view. Hella, most of Ronald Reagan's career was marked by challenging the foolish GOP orthodoxy of globalists like Kissinger and Rockefeller and Ford and the Bushes. So this is how that went down. And this kid came in telling us how we just didn't understand politics, and we had some other people came in, and they were Republican Party neocons, and they told us that we didn't have the right to criticize anybody like Mitch McConnell until we ran for office ourselves, Frank.
Well, there's a whole lot of people that need to shut up then, because not very many people actually.
That's what I said. I mean, I started asking them. I said, put up or shut up. What office have you all run for? I mean, at least John Kemper did run for office. John Kemper did run for office. He beat it, still calling in the primary, and I proudly voted for him in the primary and the general election.
I voted for him, too, and I supported him when he ran for Congress, too. He would have been a great congressman.
So we had this issue. Like I said, I just had to bring that discussion from the social networks to our show because the social network there, it only is going to get the eyes of however many people John Kemper has on his page, where he'll get thousands of listens because, again, you look at people like yourself, like myself, and look what we did for conservative candidates. And like we said, we're their Mount Everest Where are their Mount Rushmore? Where's all their candidates now? Where's Trey Grayson now? He's up in Harvard. Richie's selling cars. And David Williams went through, second or third divorce, and is now a judge in Southern Kentucky. Go ahead.
I was going to say all Abramson has to do to get the support of the Republicans is change parties. And every Republican in the state that's an establishment Republican that doesn't pay any attention to issues, they're going to support him because he claims to be a Republican just like Trey did.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, I mean, Richie is selling cars somewhere in between, you know, trying to get his latest girlfriend to some Caribbean cruise before he goes to jail. You got Trey is up there raising money for Democrats in Massachusetts. And like I said, David just went through whatever, however many divorces, and now is a judge down in Southern Kentucky. I sure the hell wouldn't want to go through Berksville if I was going that way anytime soon.
Well, I would hate to be in traffic court in Berksville myself, yeah.
I wouldn't like that too much. I'm guessing that he and the ex got over the divorce pretty quick. I saw that his ex got married like 2 months after she divorced him. So I thought that was interesting.
What does that say about her?
Yeah, that's enough of the gossip hour. I mean, you know, these guys, they patted themselves after Uncle Newty, the way Uncle Newt Gingrich did it when he was in office. That's the way to do it. And they tell us that we get to uphold their family values, but if they're paid officials, if they're Republicans, are like Richie Farmer with girlfriends on salary, if they're paid politicians, are like Rudy Giuliani, the guy who wanted to be president of 9/11. Rudy Giuliani had his girlfriend living in the mansion with his wife at the same time. So, again, I don't care what they do in their private lives, but just stop being hypocrites, you know? Stop acting like that the family values matter until your guys get busted. So when Mitch McConnell, back to the main point, gets $10,000 from Monsanto, and he's the one who gets the most of anybody in the U.S. Senate, how is this guy conservative, Frank?
I don't know. You tell me. And you know, my gripes with the Republican Party largely went to addressing hypocrisy and trying to clean up the brand. In my opinion, when you mess up as a person, as an individual, as an entity, as a company, if you mess up, you apologize, you atone for it, you admit your mistake, and you vow to do better. The Republican operating procedure has been, you know, the standard operating procedure for years has been, oh, we got caught doing something bad. Don't talk about it.
Well, it's almost like when they come back around to liberty, too. They like liberty when liberty's popular. I'm glad liberty's popular. And the way I know liberty is popular is when the neocons start all of a sudden trying to embrace the liberty folks. And what I mean by that is you just look back at what happened in 2008. And I've been involved in these Republican conventions for a long time just because I like a good fight. I'm the Irish guy who goes down the street and says, is this a private fight or can anybody get in? And I've been in these fights for a long time. Just look at the fact that the bizarre world that is the Republican Party would not even let eye doctor Rand Paul speak at a state convention in his own hometown in 2008. But, he won a landslide victory for U.S. Senate.
Oh, no, on behalf of his father, imagine that.
I know. So, like I said, he wins a primary and then a general election going away, probably the biggest margin anybody's ever won a race in Kentucky when he had all the establishment against him, and they wouldn't even let him speak at a state convention. So I am going to be curious how many of them will latch on to him or how many of them will go and grab old Krispy Kreme donut head Chris Christie and how many of them will get on to Marco, whatever his name is, name? Marco Rubio. Yeah, I was trying to think of a good offensive nickname for him. I can't come up with one. And again, these guys, they're going to be up there. They're going to think they can be president because Jeb Bush wants to be president too now, Frank.
Well, I guarantee you if the Republican Party has their way, they'll nominate a Rubio. They'll nominate a Jeb. They're not going to want to really support Rand. Yeah, they want him. They want to make it appear that they're supporting him, sort of in a superficial, condescending kind of way. They'll probably let him get close. They'll let him get close enough to taste it, but they're not going to want him to really win. And
they don't want him to throw in his support.
They want him to bring his votes with him to endorse their guy, but that's all they really want from Rand.
They never want to have anything to do with Rand. And now it gets big enough, you know, you figure the metaphor tour bus is coming by. Now they're just trying to grab on the bumper of the tour bus and hang on for dear life. They want to say, me too. I mean, nobody gave Rand Paul a chance. I had a bumper sticker for Rand Paul in an automobile in the summer of 2009. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, he can never be elected. What's that, Frank?
Me too. We were both there from the beginning. We were there from, you know, the early exploratory committee days, I'm sure.
We saw what was going on,
and we hoped and prayed he could win, but I really didn't think he could win, but he did.
He did. He went against the establishment, and we saw also, I know you did a whole lot of work for Thomas Massey, and I can remember the night that we were all shocked that the previous holder of that position, the previous Republican who held that position, who was okay, he wasn't great, he wasn't good or bad, but when we heard that he was not going to be running for re-election, Mr. Jeff Davis, I remember I was on the social networks that night talking with good people like my friend Matt Collins, known as the Collins, and he and I were talking about things, and I can remember in a private conversation on the social networks the night that Jeff Davis resigned, he and I talking about, we need to get Thomas Massey to run for this seat. This is in his district. So these are the people that
Thomas was already known, and Thomas was already out there making himself more known.
Yep.
And people loved him. The Liberty people loved him. He was just like Rand. He was refreshing with his policies.
Yep.
Great personality. Great personal history. I mean, how can you fault a guy that made millions of dollars while he was in college off of his own, you know, blood, sweat, tears, and brain?
Oh, he's a freaking genius. He's an engineer and a genius. And that should tell you right there. We need more people right there. Just look at their occupations. We need less lawyers, less jackbooted thugs in there, less police
more
people.
Engineers.
Yeah. We need more engineers and doctors. Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather have engineers and doctors in Congress than these guys. Well, Frank, you believe it or not, we're already running out of time. Do you have anything that you want to promote in the upcoming week for our audience?
Well, I would just encourage people in the Lexington area to start paying attention to Empower Lexington. If you go, this is a kind of a little funny story. The Empower Lexington people have been in existence for years and they didn't even have a Facebook page. So I decided to make one. So I created an Empower Lexington page. And so they've asked me to take it down. And I'm not going to take it down, but what I might do, what I'll probably end up doing, is just changing the name a little bit and calling it something like Watchdogs Over, you know, Empower Lexington, or Citizens Who Don't Trust Empower Lexington, and then I'm going to start editorializing the page. Right now I've been playing nice. I've just been advertising the meetings. Of course, they don't want the public to really come to the meetings. And
Frank, you should sell them the rights to the page.
I'm looking forward to it.
You should make some money and sell the rights. You should sell the rights to the page to them.
Well, I just want to get this done. I want to fight them and beat them and send them scurrying back to their, you know, underneath the refrigerator where they came from. And, you know, you shine the light of truth on some of these little cockroaches and they go scurrying real quickly.
We appreciate it, Frank. We appreciate you coming on the show tonight and your contributions. Folks, and right there is what it's about, shining the light of truth. That's us. That's me. Shining the light of truth on these issues out there. Folks, they think we're picking on them. The GOP, they listen to the show. We see the IP addresses. We know the establishment people are pissing in their adult diapers listening to the show right now. Screw you. We know you listen to the show. We don't give a damn. We're telling the truth about what's going on. The GOP has not been able to win an election, not because Obama was so strong, but because the GOP was so weak. As Ted Cruz said, the leadership of both parties got us in the mess we are. As Rand Paul said, don't look to parties, don't look to major political parties to do your bidding for you. This includes the Mitch McConnell manipulation, this whole hypocrisy. This is why we stand with people like our friend John Kemper. If you want to clean up and refreshingly change the party, then you might be able to achieve again. But we got some old blue-haired dinosaurs in there, and it ain't politically correct to say, and we sure the hell aren't politically correct, but a lot of the old dinosaurs, we know what happened to the dinosaurs, they died off. So you need to return rights to the states by the Constitution. You need to reduce the role of the federal government in our lives, in education, in energy, and in welfare, and in commerce, and get rid of the centralized banking systems. Remember how we had these areas with wars waging for centuries in the name of nation building, which George W. Bush said he would not do? Remember how we had all these wars that Obama said he would stop, and they both were lying, they were both full of shit? You can't keep voting to repeatedly raise the debt ceiling, yet have no pain to reduce spending in the next year. Our founding fathers knew that the states had to be strong to be a check and balance system for the federal government at all levels. Surely we can agree that government is not being held accountable, allowing elected employees to blow into a Lincoln Day dinner and tell us what great job they are and able to snow job us on that. Surely we can all agree that they need to be held responsible. It's time to hold them responsible. It's time to stand up to them all. It's time to look them in the eye, analyze their record, and say death to your new world order. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.